Gamer's Guide to the Galaxy. Interstellar Gaming Podcast.
I'm Brian Wade, and I'll be your captain today.
I'm Stuart, and I've been given the glorious job of boiling up all the shitty games aboard, like Biomutant, and making a thick paste that some lucky swine is going to use to patch all those E3 leaks in the ship.
Well, do you want me to do the patching, Stuart? I'm Charles, and I am here as well.
I've just been told to be glue.
And this is Gamer's Guide to the Galaxy, episode 14. We're here to talk about video games and spaceship maintenance. Those are our two things that we talk about, I think, generally. So let's start with spaceship maintenance.
What needs to be maintained?
We've got some spaceship maintenance to talk about.
I changed 3 light bulbs this week.
Woo!
Nice. I beg
you, you think that's not impressive, but he changed light bulbs on the outside of the spaceship.
Oh, nice.
Yep.
Should have put on the old space suit. Go for a walk.
Right. Did a little spacewalk. He was on one of those cables.
Just floating by, man. None of this walking. I ain't using my legs in space. I ain't no sucker. I'm just going to float by the window. Hi.
This isn't your first rodeo.
Damn right.
I baked a cake.
What kind of cake?
Chocolate with caramel center in the Harry Potter theme for a kid's birthday.
And a Harry Potter theme. So did it?
Was it a golden
snitch?
Did it
feature a broom? Did it feature a broom?
No broom. It's I've done one like
this
before.
Was it a portrait of Robicle Tray as Hagrid?
No. It was just Gryffindor colours for the base, like just a round cake with a old spell book in the centre, and then
Alan Rickman's face? Tell me it was Alan Rickman's face.
No, I'm telling you what it is. And the sorting hat on top. And I did have a golden snitch on the side. I did do a golden snitch.
I knew it had a snitch on it.
Yeah. Did it feature Alan Rickman at all, but just to make me happy?
I'll say yes, just to keep you happy, but it didn't.
it featured Alan Rickman saying his famous quote from Galaxy Quest.
As he fell off the tap, as he recreated his scene for off Nakatomi Plaza, falling off the hat.
But other than that, not a whole lot. What have you been up to, Brian?
You know, living the dream, working non-stop. I helped my neighbor install an air conditioner this past weekend, and that was fun.
Things are ramping up with your neighbor.
Yeah, he's become my roommate. It's weird. My neighbor, I helped him install an air conditioner, and it was fine. I mean, it was cool.
Also,
doing home improvement stuff is fun.
Pun intended.
It was, yeah, honestly, like, it was cool because it's been pretty warm here for the past couple weeks as it's getting closer to summer. And it was like 85 degrees the day that we installed this air conditioner, and part of installing the air conditioner was we had to take the old, no longer working one out of his wall, which meant that he had a hole in his wall for a full day. While it was 85 degrees out, and so it was extremely fucking hot in his house. So when we got the air conditioner installed and started, it was very cool.
See, I find it fun, the name air conditioner. I've noticed around the world, the name changes depending on the natural climate of the environment. We call them heat pumps here because we don't need to condition the air. We just need to heat it because it's cold.
Well, an air conditioner and a furnace are two different things in America.
Yeah, no.
Aircon's cold.
Yeah, air conditioning is for cold, furnace is for hot.
They do the same thing here. Wall-mounted things, and they go hot or cold, and they mostly heat. it never gets that warm
air
here.
Air conditioning's a myth here. It doesn't exist.
Well, you'd be the same. You'd be the same, yeah. You don't need it.
it's don't get me wrong, offices, cinemas, big buildings, but at home... Nah, I've never been to somebody's house that's had an air conditioner on it. ever.
No?
Nah.
My house has central air.
No, I've been to hotels and stuff that have air conditioners. And I've been to, like I say, cinemas and stuff, and that offices and stuff have air conditioners, but domestic homes, nah. I can't even think of anybody who's got one, let alone ever seen one. Just not a thing that's needed. Central heating, oh, we're all about your head central heating, man. We fucking love a radiator.
Yeah.
But, nah, air conditioning's just the thing we don't do.
I mean, I've got to have central heating and air conditioning, man. Like, I don't want it to get too hot or too cold in my house.
I'll get windows. I'll open them. Oh, it's cold. Close that window.
Us Kiwis are tough.
You can't open the windows if it's too warm outside, though, right? Like, then
that's
just
a myth. That's never happened. That's never happened.
It's not even going to happen in Scotland.
Too warm. What is this? Too warm.
Must be nice to live in like a fucking fantasy magical land where it doesn't get to be 1,000 fucking degrees in the middle of the summer.
Oh, it pisses a rain every day, and it's windy and cold, and there's snow.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah. It's called the arse end of nowhere.
I'd much rather it be cold than hot.
Yeah, for sure.
See a move to Canada in your cards. I'm saying that Canada gets quite hot as well here.
Some parts.
It actually did get cold last night and today. It's been pretty chilly, like in the 50s, low 60s, which I don't know what that is in fake degrees, but in real degrees, it's 50s to low 60s.
I don't know if that's fake.
It's reasonably chilly.
Yeah. Like, I had to turn the heat on last night, or this morning, because it got to, like, 60 degrees in my house last night.
Well, it's about,
it was pretty chilly.
It's about 11 degrees here, I think, at the moment, inside.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you guys are heading into winter, right?
Yeah.
So that was, that's what I've done. I installed an air conditioner.
Nice work.
Cool.
I'm sure.
It was very heavy.
I would imagine. Two-man job.
It was definitely a two-man job, and we had to, so his, the hole in his wall where we put the air conditioner in was, like, on his stairs, so we had to, like, lift it up the stairs, to get it into the hole in the wall, and that was pretty fun.
Okay, that was fun.
Yeah.
Such sentiment, such heartfelt sentiment, you know what I mean? Tell me more about this air conditioner. No, I've had enough. I'm sorry, I'm done. I filled my aircon quota for the week.
Well, that's what we did. We took the kids to a cat cafe yesterday.
Oh, hell yes. Tell me about that.
They were cats.
Was it Hagrid shaped capes, though?
No.
Was that an Alan Rickman cupcake?
No. There was a blueberry muffin head and some okoyanomaki, the Japanese cabbage pancakes, because like all good cat cafes, it's owned by a Japanese guy.
that's the mark of it. If your cat cafe isn't owned by a traditional Japanese person, it's not a good location.
I'd probably argue that's true.
Charles can't post pictures on his Facebook.
I can't say I've ever been to one, or there's one in my vicinity to go to.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's a heavily Japanese thing. I don't know, Brian.
Don't know.
Have you got one?
I'm sure there's maybe one in. You talk about it. I'll see if there's one in the UK.
Well, they're very popular in Japan. They have all sorts of cafes. There's owl cafes, dog cafes,
anime cafes.
Yes.
There's free cat cafes in the UK.
There you go.
Let's see if there's any cat cafes near me.
It was good. They help rescue cats, and they also adopt cats out as part of their service to keep cats safe and off the streets. And yeah, it was fun. There were some very cute cats. My daughter wanted to leave with a cat, which didn't happen. But yeah, it was good.
You already have a cat anyway, right?
No, not anymore.
No.
It went with my mum.
Oh, right. Okay.
Which is one of the reasons my daughter's very sad and wants another cat.
Yes.
She,
I can understand that.
She cried when we first went in because she was like, I miss my cat. But then she got
for you to get her a cat.
Then she got happy because she got to play with cats.
Because she got to hang out with a bunch of cats. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, yeah, there's a cute one that had like a white face, and like it was all like the turtle shell on like the top, but it, like it was white face underneath, and it was very cute. I don't know, pure white on cats always looks really nice. And there's a cute grey one, like just a shadowy colour one, which is really cool. And no cats. I don't know how to say. Yeah, it was real funny. They all had like Japanese names, except like the one, the little shit, the grey one was Liam. And I loved the.
Was it was called Steve?
Liam.
Frank.
It was Liam. It was
John. Robert.
No, it was like Sakura and
Alan.
And then.
Was
Liam.
It called Alan Rickman the cat?
No.
What's his name, Robbie Coltrane?
The cat.
The cat.
His name was Snape.
You have to put that bit at the end just to make sure, just in case they're in the same place at the same time. It could be a bit awkward, that.
Yes.
Yeah, Stuart, anything you've been up to?
Working. Working. I'm off this week, but you can tell that obviously we're still in. Well, fundamentally, we're not out of the woods. Again, we're not out of the woods yet. So I've not really went anywhere. I've just kind of worked. Well, did a bit of writing and played some games and
nice.
Kind of just took life easy. Yeah, just working really. And
We get that.
thinking about Alan Rickman from time to time.
Clearly.
And, Robbie Coltrane. But yeah, that's me. I'm for all a minute kind of guy, then, you know. Woo! Crazy party.
Yeah, fair enough.
No cat cafes for me.
Well, you've got three in the UK. You can visit one soon, hopefully.
I'll make a point.
Yeah, write it in the diary. Book it in.
Write it in the diary.
Well, it looks like the closest one to me is about 2 hours away.
Yeah, you've already got your own cat cafe.
Yeah, I live with a cat. And by live with a cat, I mean...
You were owned by a cat.
You pay the cat the house.
So it's her new house that you just moved into.
That's correct.
Despite the fact you gave her the money to buy it.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, I just pay the rent for her to live here.
You pay for the rights to exist near her.
Yes. Yes.
Co-inhabit is the phrase I think we're using. You pay for the right to co-inhabit the environment.
I mean, you guys saw the picture.
Yeah. We're still being judged. I can feel it. I can sense that tension.
All right. What games news has been out there in the wild, in the deep, dark space?
Everything.
Everything. Everything and anything and everything. The Nintendo Switch Pro is supposedly more real than it's ever been. There's new reporting out that it's going to be revealed soon. And as we all know, that news has only come out like 17 times over the past year. So it's definitely true this time, guys.
Yep. I saw in passing information about Game Pass going to Switch. Was that fake? I assume it was.
That's a pipe dream as well. That's the.
Yeah, I figured.
Oh, it might harm.
But you never know. You never know.
It sounds fake to me.
Don't worry, the Switch Pro will launch with Games Pass. But I don't know. I was looking at it and I've been playing a bit with the xCloud stuff on my phone, and it wouldn't be hard because all they would need to do is port that app to any system. And it instantly gives you access to the xCloud stuff, which is really, really slick. So, as we laugh and joke, realistically speaking, it isn't it isn't a mammoth task to get Xbox games running on any a Switch or a PlayStation or whatever. Do you know what I mean? But that will never happen. Although I have heard people are able to crack Chromecasts to get it on a Chromecast, which I think there's a backdoor way of doing it, so you can plug a Chromecast into a PlayStation 4 or 5 and get it through that. It's quite bizarre. But
why would you go to the effort when you could just play a PlayStation game?
Because, yeah, reasons. Reasons.
Fair enough. So the Pro.
I don't know.
Is likely, we think.
It's more real than it's ever been. That's all I'm saying.
It's going to have a nicer screen. It's going to have better Joy-Cons. It's going to have better Joy-Cons. Or it's going to have better analog sticks. Because that's the point of breakage on a Switch, you know, is the joystick, the sticks. They're just shit.
Yeah, Weird Al Joy-Cons on the fritz trying to play Pokemon Snap a few weeks ago, and I got out the alcohol and cleaned it, and it worked. But it's a pain that you have to do that. Like, they're not used that heavily.
Well, they're prone to drifting. Like, I think everybody I know who's getting hit with one, it's drifting. And I'm like, even when you play it, like, I'm super careful with it, but it's like, I wouldn't play a fight. I bought a Pro Controller because I was like, I'm no one to play any game that involves vigorous, like, stick movements, like, fast rotations and stuff. The Capcom collections get Street Fighter 2 on it. I'm like, I'm no playing Street Fighter 2 on the Joy-Cons because that's just, you're just going to end up doing your Joy-Cons in that way, you know?
Oh, yeah. The good thing is it seems reasonably easy to clean and fix. Like, it worked when I just got some of the cleaning alcohol in there. It's just, it gets dirty real easy, the sensors. The way they've done it, they're really easy exposed to dust. Dust gets up in there. So yes, an updated Joy-Cons would be very nice. The question is, are they going to block people out from playing like they've done in the past when they've done the new DS or whatever? They've kind of blocked some of the new games.
There will be a few games, probably, that are exclusive to the Nintendo Switch Pro or whatever it ends up being called. But, like, there's no fucking chance in the world that Breath of the Wild 2 is one of those, right? Like, no major Nintendo games will be exclusive. They will just be like, oh, it runs a little bit better on the new one.
I'm sure they have done some big games.
They'll take a Xbox stance on it, and they'll just release a title, and the title will come with updates. So, like, there'll be, like, the Nintendo's version of a 4K patch, or whatever, if they're going to run in true 4K, like it's been rumoured forever. So it'll be a case, you'll buy the game, and then it'll download what it needs. The machine will know what it wants to play it on, you know what I mean? Because I don't imagine they'll no fracture the player base. Unless they're really, really, really stupid. Stranger things have happened.
They've definitely done that before, though.
I think the lessons have been learned, but I think the 3DSi stuff, I think the lessons were learned for that, because I don't think it was a bit of a buzz when it launched, but ever since then, it never really made the impact the same way as the 3DS did, or the 3DS XL and stuff. And it was like, the 3DSi was just kind of, it's a thing, and then obviously it just died to death. It's dead. Sad face. But, yeah.
We shall see, I guess. When do you reckon it will launch or drop? Christmas?
November. November, I think.
See, I don't know. See, I'd say November, but if it's going to be next, if it's going to be with Breath of the Wild, I don't see the Breath of the Wild coming this year.
I mean, it's been 4 years since the last Breath of the Wild game, right? So,
well, somebody put up an interesting thing that between the Wii U and the launch of the Switch
was like 1768 days or whatever. I don't remember which number it was.
Between the Switch and the launch of whatever, between the Switch and the Wii U is what you're saying, like so many days, right? And between the Switch and whatever, it's going to be the exact same amount of days on the 6th of June, I think it is, or something. And that's when they're all thinking it's going to be announced. Which is,
But announced isn't released, right? Like unless they're going to pull the Saturn?
No chance. There's no chance they can do it. In the environment in the world right now, there's nobody's running hard into retail with product. No chance. No, unless it's even then, how long have they been making these things? Well, you never know. There could be warehouses and warehouses and warehouses with hundreds of these fucking things sitting in them. But then that's no Nintendo's tack either. Nintendo's tack is to build demand for product before flooding the market with product. Because, like, look at Amiibos. Amiibos, there's still a massive demand for it. And to be fair, how hard is it to craft a fucking plastic figure and send it out to retail? But they still hold back on it, which in fundamentally has created a whole micro culture. Amiibo collectors who are paying through the nose for what? You know what I mean? It's a bit crazy.
Yeah.
But Nintendo know that.
Yeah, exactly.
Nintendo know this.
Create scarcity.
Yeah. It's bullshit. Well, it's what it is.
Nintendo loves to create scarcity, right? Like, I mean, look at the fucking... It makes them look good. The Mario 3D collection thing. It makes them look
cool. Aye. It makes them look as if they're still relevant. It's a false economy. Whereas, you look at, like, PlayStation. PlayStation could not supply for the demand, because the demand's there, but they just don't have the supply. Whereas with Nintendo, the demand's there, but they make sure the supply is short, so the demand stays there, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I don't think they do that on hardware. I think they legitimately do have a
Switch was quite
demand
hard
outstripping
to find.
Supply. Yes, yes. That's and even still at now, launch. Like, the Switch is hard to find.
But I agree with main hardware, probably not, but they definitely did with some of the side things.
Oh, yes.
Like
absolutely. But, the minis, but specifically, like, just, like, the ability to get a console is not, like, that. They're not, like, artificially creating that demand, but they do artificially create demand on software and on the Amiibos especially.
Well, yeah, and the
like
side.
That is stuff. Very, very clear.
and the
special
news.
Edition, like the news. Yes. Yeah, and the, God. Like, I'm glad I have those, but I haven't even taken them out of the box.
Even the one I sent you all the way from New Zealand.
I did take the one that you sent me out of the box. But then I ended up getting an American one as well, so and that one has stayed in the box.
You just did that to check there was no spiders in it. Be honest.
Exactly. But now it's just in a box again, Charles, because, like, I have the Super NT, so...
Oh, yeah, of course.
Right? Like, what use do I have for the Classic when I have a Super NT and a flash card that can play everything?
I mean, beautiful dust collectors.
Yes. I mean, yeah, they're cute little boxes, and they look cool on a shelf, but that's about it.
Yeah, we could have just bought a figure of them for $20 instead
instead of the $60, $70 whatever console.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know, gentlemen. Also, the mini console market's kind of disappeared a wee bit as well, hasn't it? It kind of peaked a time because we were getting into kind of interest in mini consoles, and then they all just died a death.
Yes, yeah, Sega released another one.
that never got released.
Oh, didn't it?
That's not been released yet. Don't think so.
But they, I don't know. It's like about
Sega
collections.
I don't think the Mega Drive. There's a Mega Drive mini coming, or was coming, but it's went quiet.
And then Mega Drive, like,
the Sega.
Isn't the Mega Drive just the Genesis?
Yep.
Yeah.
So there's already a Genesis Mini. I have one.
Yeah, but it's made by At Games, I think.
No, I have the good one. There was a good one that was made by Sega.
Yeah, because I know there was a new one coming.
Yeah, because I have the Sega one, the NES, SNES, and the TurboGrafx one are the ones that I've gotten.
Yeah. The Sega arcade machines, like...
Oh, yeah, the little tabletop ones, like the little mini ones.
That's really, really nice, but it costs a fortune. I think they're like £300 to get here, imported, all that, you know. Because for some bizarre reason, they're not bringing them to Europe, because they're mental.
No, and the thing with those, like, all of these boxes is they're just emulation, right? Like, you can do the same thing on any...
It's Raspberry Pi.
On a Raspberry Pi or in, like, any reasonable PC, like, you can get pretty good targeted... Good quality emulation.
Five quid in a trip to fucking Steam will get you in the majority of the Sega.
right. So, like, it's like, you just have to, I mean, it really, like, it just depends on on who it's for, right? Like for me, like, those are just, like, cool novelty boxes that I'm never gonna mess around with, because I want something more accurate than that, right? Like, because I'm the weirdo that needs my games to be as close to playing on the real cartridge slash playing slash real system as possible, right? Like, and that's what's gotten me into the FPGA consoles, is that those are, like, more or less real systems, right?
Yep.
Well, that was the kind of pickup. But yeah, when the minis went under, these started to kind of really take off. People realized that you can buy a machine that can play every cartridge,
right, and can play the cartridges that you already own from when you were a kid or whatever, yeah. Right? Like, or, you know, like I do. I have the FX Pack Pro, like the flash cart that just. I've got a micro SD card with every Super Nintendo game on it, and it goes in there, and then I can just, you know, play every Super Nintendo game on my TV, and it looks the exact same as they did when I was a kid, and it's amazing. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
And we'll talk about that later in the games section.
the other news that got me interested was the Lies of P game. Did you guys see that?
No. I think so. I feel like I remember hearing that name, but I don't know if I actually saw the game.
It's they're saying it's a Souls-like, and we know that's a big.
Oh yes, the Pinocchio one. Yes.
Yes. And I was so intrigued that it's Bloodborne, but the Pinocchio story. I was just like, what? Like, I'm in with a grin. Like, it just seemed exciting and weird. The trailer looks.
I don't
good.
Know, like. I guess I haven't watched the trailer, but I feel like if we're gonna talk about a Souls-like game in another franchise, we should talk about the Final Fantasy Origin rumors. Like, that's the thing that's most exciting to me.
Maybe we can get that after, yeah, in a sec. Oh yeah, because that was supposed to be a third-person action game as well, wasn't it?
Yes, yeah, it's supposed to be. They described it as a Neo-like, which, you know, Neo is a. So I was like, and you like those Neo games a lot, right, Charles? So
yeah, I do. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I forgot that's what intrigued me. But Lies of P, it looks a lot like Bloodborne. It's that whole gritty aesthetic. Puppet, they show a puppet, like a which potentially is an enemy in the cutscene. And it looked a little too animatronic for my liking. I would have preferred more of that puppet style and more magic based rather than technological based.
Sure.
But other than that, it looks pretty cool, and it looks like that you'll be playing as a puppet creator to combat whatever bad has been happening in this area.
Okay, and I have an important question.
Yeah, you go. Do a long
Does
nose.
Your nose grow and shrink dynamically?
I don't know. That would be funny. The name's really dumb. Like, I don't like the name of
the name
game.
Is extremely dumb.
Lies of P. But I think potentially with that title, I wonder if lying, there is a maybe dialogue and things that could change potentially on how you interact with the game.
Yeah, I want my nose to get so long that my character just tips over all the time. Can't keep his head up because his nose is too long.
Or you can use it to fight.
Yes.
It's your the riposte is you parry and then you just stab people with your nose.
No, the riposte is that you parry someone and then you tell a bunch of lies so your nose grows and stabs them.
So it looks like there could be some character customization because you get to be the puppet. The narrator for it is trying to do that epic voice like the Souls voices do in the narration of the intros. It just didn't quite hit right. Like, I think it was trying a little too hard in the voice acting. But it looks cool. Like, I'm keen. Like, just the whole Souls-like with Pinocchio feel, it seems fun. And it did look
a lot
more...
It's a very funny idea, for sure.
But yeah, the cool thing is that they're not being funny with it. So,
sure, but that doesn't mean that it's not funny.
Exactly, right? And it makes it a little bit more funny in a weird way. But I'm keen for that.
It's the kind of thing where, like, they have to thread a very careful needle. Like, because if they take it way too seriously and don't have a sense of humor about it, then, like, when it's extremely fucking funny to the general public, like, then it's seen as a failure.
Yeah,
but if
they can
still take it seriously, but do it, like, kind of tongue-in-cheek, right? Like,
yes.
There's definitely a way for them to do it, and we'll see if they're able to thread that needle. Who's even making this game? Isn't it some, like,
Korean studio?
Korean studio, yeah.
They've no get a great track. They've made Guitar Girl, so that says everything. Do you know what I mean?
I've never even heard of Guitar Girl, so...
It says it all. There's no really a headlining game for their catalogue. There's one I recognise. I think it's a free-to-play. But...
Yeah, there's always a big hitter like that people can do. You never know. So tell me more about the Final Fantasy Origins. I do remember now I'm waking up a little bit, that I saw it and I was very intrigued.
Yeah, but I don't think that there's much out about it. Like, it was all just like, hey, like, this is in development. Like, it was just people that were like, they had gotten insider information or whatever, but... The cool thing about it is that supposedly it's set in the world of the original Final Fantasy. It's called Final Fantasy Origin, which is a very funny name, because we already have Final Fantasy Origins as a game. That's the compilation of Final Fantasy 1 and 2 on the PlayStation 1.
Ah, yes, right, yeah.
It was called Final Fantasy Origins. But it's a Final Fantasy action RPG set in the world of the original Final Fantasy, developed by Team Ninja, and supposedly Neo-like... Which sounds very cool to me. Like the original Final Fantasy was basically just a D&D campaign, right? Like, it was all created characters, and it was, you know, those games were like early on were inspired by Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah.
And the idea of a like modern modern retelling of that style of story seems pretty cool. I like the idea of fighting Garland and him telling me that he's going to knock me all down in, like, 2021 graphics. That seems very funny to me.
But if I remember, I'm pretty sure I have played the first Final Fantasy. It is very bare bones, so I'm so intrigued to see. It's going to take some serious artistic license to create that world and flesh it out.
Yeah, because, I mean, it was less of a world and more of just, like, a collection of themes, right? Like... not necessarily a bad thing. Like, obviously, like, it's endured for a reason. The story of the four crystals, like, is like a was like a foundation for all of Final Fantasy going forward, right? So,
well, yeah, and they've gone back to that.
Could be cool.
Yeah. Have they done any other games based in it? Because, as you say, there are multiple. Final Fantasies go back into the worlds.
Yeah, no, I think Final Fantasy 1's world is unique to it specifically. And also, like, you know, Final Fantasy 1 has a lot of things in it that got dropped for later Final Fantasies pretty early on. Like, there are elves in Final Fantasy 1, and there's never, like, there's never again, like, just, like, straight-up elves, right? Like Tolkien-style elves in a future Final Fantasy game.
Yeah, the closest would you could argue is the ancients in Final Fantasy VII, potentially. They're kind of like elvish race, but-ish. But you're not with that kind of fear Tolkien look. Yeah, no, I'm intrigued by it, especially the action RPG. Like, I've really enjoyed VII. Like, I'm super, super excited for, like, next week when the PS5 update drops with the expansion.
Yeah, it's June 10th, right? So a little over a week.
Yeah. I'm super excited for that. Like, I've been hanging out to play it again, and I've been waiting for this. So I'm keen. But we've got no kind of time frame when it's due, though, do we?
No. It's all just there's been no official word from Square or Team Ninja or whoever. It's just there's talk. You know, there are rumors.
Yeah.
And I have. Speaking of June 10th, I have, I guess, a week and a half to try to get a PS5. It's never going to happen.
It's doable. I got a friend of mine who's relocating his to Australia and he sold his PS5 here, and he left yesterday, and he had already managed to find and buy and have delivered a PS5 in Australia. So it's doable.
Was it just not worth like the packing fees to?
He was taking one bag. He's like taking one bag. So yeah, yeah.
Oh, so he's like just straight up like just dropped everything and moved, huh?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. He's a young fella.
Okay. Sure.
So he doesn't have a whole lot, and his wife is there. He's married, but they got separated because of lockdown, and so he stayed here and she stayed there, and he's finally. Because things are opening back up between the two countries, he's able to move and actually be with his wife. So,
well, that's good. That's a good reason to move for sure.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, I was impressed that he managed to get one. Because it wasn't that hard.
It's probably a little bit easier down there than it is in America.
It might be. Yeah, yeah, for sure. The restocking regularly, it's just they sell out pretty quick.
Yeah, and the scalper situation probably isn't quite as bad down there as up here.
No, we don't buy into that rubbish. Like people just like,
yeah, I wish we didn't, but we do. So other RPGs that are coming out soon that we've seen trailers for, this Dragon Quest III HD 2D remake, looks amazing. Charles, you've seen it. Stuart,
yes,
you've also seen it, I believe.
Yeah,
I don't think Stuart cares though. Do you like old RPGs, Stuart?
Dragon Quest is Dragon Quest. I know there was a metric fuck ton of stuff shown at that thing that was Dragon Quest. Ooh.
Yeah, they announced Dragon Quest 12 for platforms. They didn't say what it was coming out on. They just said that it was
big reveal, but was that they've announced they're going to do an adult theme, not adult theme, but a more adult oriented,
yeah, like a more mature Dragon Quest.
Yeah,
but like, I don't
the
know.
Fan base is...
I don't think it needs it. I think that Dragon Quest has its niche, and the thing about this Dragon Quest HD 2D thing, what is it about Dragon Quest, or what is it about Final Fantasy that makes Square not want to treat it the way that it treats Dragon Quest, right? Like, where's... We talked about this before we recorded, but where is my Final Fantasy VI that looks like this? Where is... They've given us these shitty, like, mobile ports and the Steam ports with the horrible graphics. And, man, like... I would kill for Final Fantasy VI that looked like that.
Six is a weird one. Yeah, they haven't done much with six. They've done
they put out horrible mobile port graphics, and that's it. I mean, eight at least got the remastered on Switch.
It took a long time for it, though. And
it did take a long time, and supposedly because they lost the source code, I think they had to like reverse engineer the code of that game for the remasters.
Yeah, I guess nine they haven't done a lot with either.
Yeah, and I mean, again, a kind of shitty mobile port that then got ported to Steam and is, you know, it's at least like the same graphics and stuff. Like it looks fine. It's just got a weird interface because it's like an interface that's built for touchscreens.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Like six probably has the deepest and most interesting world.
Yes.
And so it'd be good to see it fleshed out. Like I mentioned earlier. In our green room on our spaceship, that'll be interesting to. It would be interesting to see that and redone with the Final Fantasy VII remake graphics, because I'd like to see that world fully realized. You'd like to see it in this Octopath Traveler, Dragon Quest III graphics.
Yeah. I mean, look, I would take either, honestly.
Yeah. Because did it have an active battle? I can't remember. I haven't played a whole lot of... I've watched a lot of Six, my brother playing, but I haven't played a lot myself.
ATV. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. So they could do something very similar with the combat they have done with the remake. But yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I guess they're starting to. And so we might see more of it.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. We'll see.
Hey, but just to be fair, though, have we seen much of the Dragon Quest stuff being remade?
I mean, Dragon Quest games have been remade over and over again, right? Like,
are
All of them got all of the first eight got ported to the 3DS, basically.
Yeah. Okay.
Maybe 1, 2, 3 didn't. But four through eight got ported to the 3DS. I know at least. Or the DS and the 3DS. Maybe not just the 3DS. And all of those ports are like universally loved, right? Like they are all great games, and they look great, and they didn't do war crimes to the graphics, to the sprites. The way that they did Final Fantasy VI.
I actually haven't noticed. I haven't seen the ported version of that. To be honest, I'm surprised it's that bad.
Oh man, I'm just gonna show it to you.
Like, yeah, for some reason I've never seen that. Because didn't they release it on the PS1 on disc at some point?
Yes.
And that was just the original, so I think that looked okay, didn't it?
The problem with it though there was that it was on a disc, and so it had load times that were bad.
Okay.
Okay, I can't.
I don't know. I guess I'm trying to defend Final Fantasy because it's more my series than Dragon Quest. But they did a lot of work with some of the earlier ones. Like, was it 4 they redid with like all like 3D graphics and stuff?
Yes, and that one was fine on the 3DS, and that's also on Steam.
So they have given it some love, but you're right. Like, they haven't picked. I guess Dragon Quest might be a bit easier because it's got a very distinct art style that hasn't changed. Just the graphics have changed. So, it's a different kettle of fish in some ways.
All right, here you go. Here's some horrible graphics.
All right, I'm ready.
This is what the mobile port looks like.
Oh, yeah. That's weird.
It's bad, right?
Like, the environments look cool. Like,
the environments look fine, yeah. Yeah.
But the
sprites are horrendous.
I've changed the pixel of them, but they're the same silhouette.
Yeah, they're bad.
Yeah. You know, that's weird. Yeah, I don't know, maybe we'll get one day.
Yep. One day. Stuart, you got any news you want to talk about so we can stop talking about RPGs?
Far Cry 6 is coming. It's Far Cry. Get excited. Looks like Far Cry.
When I saw that, the leak for that, I was like, hadn't that game already come out? Like, I've seen these images a lot.
It was meant to come out last year, but they pulled it. So, it's now coming out in October. If you like Far Cry, you'll like it. If you don't like Far Cry, you'll not like it. It's standard Ubi fare. Massive open world with loads of shit to do.
I've never played a Far Cry game.
They're alright. They're just busy work games. They're okay to play and just busy potter about and just do things, and then you end up realising you're almost finished it, and you're like, oh, that was 2 weeks of my life I'll never get back. But it looks fine and dandy, and it's no doing anything epically amazing that blows the Far Cry model out about the. It's not like, oh my god, it's like, oh my god, it's amazing, it's like totally redesigning Far Cry. Nah, it follows the same script, it looks like it will play the same, it just looks nicer. That's a fair judgment call. And there's some interesting environments in it that they've shown so far. So, yeah, Far Cry. Ooh, Far Cry. And there was Dying Light 2, which again has been in the bakey for so long it's unreal, because that was meant to be fucking
like 2 years ago,
a year and a half ago or something. It was meant to be a wee while ago actually. It just looks like more the same parkour and killing zombies, big district, slight change of tack for what it was originally patched as, I think. But no, again, December looks adequately pleasant, so yeah.
No, I'm not interested. I played like half an hour of the first one and I hated it.
Problem with Dying Light I hated was what you play co-op all the way to the last mission and then it forcibly split you for your co-op partner to finish the last mission yourself, which is shit.
That's a bit weird.
Yeah, and it was just a bizarre design choice. So technically I think you can play the first one 4-player co-op, and then obviously that makes it infinitely easier because there's 4 of yous or 2 of yous or whatever. But to the fact to get to the last mission and then they might go, yeah, we're going to split you up because you have to do the final mission yourself. So like, yeah, you have kind of messed this up, guys. You know what I mean?
But
that is a weird choice.
It'll be fine. Again, massive open world game, blah, 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 blah. Just another busy work kind of, you know. I've no offence against Dying Light or Dead Island, its predecessor. Kind of, obviously, it's the same team that moved on. They're alright games. They're no amazing, but they're an enjoyable time. Like, if you're just looking for something to just mess about with killing zombies, you know what I mean? I've played worse.
I'm sure you have.
Yeah. Indeed I have. Oh, and there was a big Horizon Zero Dawn 2 thing, but...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'm not... The jungle, the tropic setting just doesn't sit with me quite as well as what the kind of frozen, rocky forest setting did, I think. I don't know. I just don't feel quite as intrigued by the world now, because it's like, oh, it's set in a beach, and it's basically set somewhere Far Cry could be set. And it's all kind of rocky outcrops and tropical settings with palm trees and shit and crystal blue water and all that. But she's got some new skills. She got a glider and stuff and all that. And yeah, it seems like they've done a good job. And with it being a PS5 game, it'll make really good use of the haptic triggers and stuff. I 100% believe killing with the bow will be amazing. Though we've got that feeling, don't you, a T?
Yeah. It looked good, the gameplay. I just really hope that it's not narrated like it was in the trailer, the 14 minutes of gameplay, because that was infuriating.
I think that's maybe just...
I need to get clear of here. It's like, yeah, we know.
I have a feeling that's just for show, but taking.
Oh, I agree.
Because it's obviously dropped me into a vertical slice of the game, haven't you?
So. Yeah. But yes,
I didn't watch it. I should have watched it, but I already know I'm going to play that game, so I didn't really like feel the motivation to. I loved the first game so much that it's just like it's going to happen. So why bother? You know, it's like watching a trailer for like a new Star Wars movie or whatever. It's like I know I'm going to go see this, so I don't need to watch a trailer.
Are you going to go and see a new Star Wars
homework? Yes, that's a bad comparison now. But before The Rise of Skywalker, it was a good comparison.
For me, it's From Software game. It's like, yeah. I don't need to see Elden Ring trailers. I'm just going to play it. I'm just going
to
play
the
thing.
I don't think we'll see anything today with Elden Ring at E3 this year. I've just a feeling it'll just get patched. It'll just totally, it'll be a no-show.
Good thing is we can just blame George R.R. Martin for the delay.
I just think the game will become one of the urban myths, and it'll be
it's
like
just,
five,
it's just never gonna exist.
6 years, five. Was it? Was it down deep, deep below?
Oh yeah,
The Dragon Dog
Deep
two,
down,
it?
Whatever.
Deep down.
It was built around the Dragon Dogma's engine and stuff. Blah blah blah, and it never happened. It never fabricated into anything. And so Elden Ring could be one of them, and you get it maybe 3-4 years down the line.
Death Stranding.
Yeah. Well, Death Stranding, was it a 4-year, 5-year wait?
It was quite a while. It's actually scary how long it was and how short that time actually felt as well. How quick time's going by.
I suppose, but you kind of had all the kerfuffle with him leaving Capcom, Konami. So you had the whole argument of him leaving and then him setting up his own studio and blah, 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 you know, so in retrospect, it probably was about that kind of time frame, but I don't see, I know a lot of people are wanting Elden Ring to be shown, but I just don't, if it is shown, it'll be a tiny, tiny, tiny trailer.
Yeah, it'll just be like a teaser.
Aye, it'll be a slightly more
trailer than last time.
Yeah.
Which wasn't much.
Well, hopefully some more news soon. I guess that wraps us up for news. Anything else you guys want to... Anything else tickled your fancy recently?
I mean, that all sounds about right to me. I don't know what other news... I think we kind of talked about... I mean, the Dragon Quest was a big thing for me. That's the coolest thing that's been in the news for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's just more... it's just us starting to get leaks for...
E3 is starting. It will be in a few weeks. So.
Yeah, all the leaks always happen beforehand. Like, we know everything that's happening.
Yeah, apparently E3 Judges Week starts this coming week, so we might hear some more stuff coming out of that.
Yeah. Did you see the Witcher board game is up on Kickstarter, Brian?
Is it made by the same people that did the Dark Souls board game?
I don't know.
How dare you imply he would know who that if it was the same people? How dare you imply?
I got an email that they were making some other game, and I was like, oh boy, no thank you.
Yeah, it looks alright. I haven't looked at it too much, but yeah, the figures, they've got like all the monsters and stuff in miniatures, which is pretty cool.
Yeah,
I just know you like The Witcher.
I do like The Witcher. Let's talk about video games.
Yeah. What have you been playing, Brian?
What about... I've been playing Final Fantasy IV Ultima version 26K.
Push the button right there.
It is a mod of Final Fantasy IV for the Super NES that adds a bunch of cool stuff, like new weapons, new spells, but it's still more or less the same game. They just they rebalanced it to make it... a little bit harder than the original, and the difficulty slowly like ramps up throughout the game to where it's like closer to original difficulty, like original Japanese version difficulty by the end of the game. And then they've added some other super bosses and stuff that I haven't decided if I'm going to mess with or not. I just got to the underground and did like I fought the boss in the underground and am getting ready to go to the Tower of Babel. So, you know, it's Final Fantasy IV is a great game, and it's fun to play it in beautiful HD.
Which graphics version is it?
It is the original Super Nintendo version.
Okay,
like,
so the pixel graphics,
But on the Super NT. Yep. So it's, upscaled to 1080p and looks really great.
Yeah, cool.
Anybody got questions about Final Fantasy IV? Y'all played this game?
I never finished it. I played it on my phone. I think it was the DS remake that they released on phones. And I got really close to the end, I think. And then had a boss that I couldn't beat and had to go back and grind. And I lost steam and just never finished it. but no, it's good. I like the different characters in that one. The characters are pretty cool.
Yeah, and one of the cool things that they did... so, in original Final Fantasy IV, when you get to the end game, like, your party is set. Like, you just have your five-person party of Cecil, Kane, Rosa, Rydia, and Edge. And, like, that's just your party for the ending of the game. One of the cool things that they did was they've added in a way for you to swap your party around, so you can set up whatever party you want for the end game. And that includes you can get Dark Knight Cecil back in your party at the end of the game. Which seems really cool. I'm excited for that. Though Paladin Cecil is still like maybe my favorite Final Fantasy sprite ever. He just looks so cool.
I do like that character development. How it's like he's like the dark dude, and then he has that change.
Yeah, and then you get the man Mount Aurelius, so cool. Like even in 2021, like 30 years after the fact, the Mount Aurelius encounter is like really really cool. Where you fight your shadow self and become a paladin officially. Man, so cool. Great game. I mean, that's more or less all I've been playing. I've just been plugging away at it, playing some doing some grinding when I'm not feeling motivated to move forward in story and doing some story stuff. So
nice.
So that's my video games.
Is that it?
That's it.
That's it. You guys.
You know what?
From this,
I guess I can say. So I told you guys on the last episode that I was kind of on a Destiny break, and that Destiny break is still happening. But I did.
Congratulations.
Good to see you. I did do Vault of Glass, so Vault of Glass got released in Destiny 2 last weekend, and so I did that, and that was fun. It's cool to go back to that raid. They did some cool stuff to update it, mostly just that there's actually, like, a reasonable number of enemies in it now, and it's not just, like, 3 goblins for the entire raid. And, you know, I mean, it's still Destiny. It's great. Like, it's not me taking a break from Destiny doesn't change the way I feel about Destiny. I played a lot of Destiny in the past year and a half, and I need a break.
It looks like they're jumping the shark with it, though. Some of the new gear I've been seeing starting to get, like, way not Destiny.
What do you mean?
It just looks really wacky. And
what gear, though? Like,
I don't know. I don't know enough about it.
Okay.
I don't know, just it starts looking like in the new, isn't like the whole new like season or something, everything's just now square blocks and there's no actual graphics. And I'm like,
no,
no,
that's absolutely not the case. So the newest season, the Vex have like simulated the sun out of existence. And so we are going into the Vex network, and the Vex network is like
yeah, it's just square blocks.
Very,
like, how is
very? It's synthwavey, right? Like, it's not just square blocks. It's just synthwave. It's designed square blocks. It's not just like unfinished square
it's
blocks.
Untextured.
Like, it's just
they're untextured surfaces. Yeah. For God's sake!
It did seem like when I saw it, I was like, this seems a little lazy.
No,
like how can we do less work?
No, not at all.
Yeah.
I don't think that's
we'll
the
just,
case at all.
We'll just take the textures off the whole game and we'll just let them replay that and we'll never know.
That's what it'll look like.
No,
I don't know.
Not at all.
So the armor and stuff I've seen a little clips of just seem really like silly, and they seem to be going way too far and down the design
armor's gone
process.
Power Ranger, I've noticed.
So what you're probably seeing is they do like a... I guess you could call it silly, but like every season, like they sell a set of armor for each class as an ornament that are they're themed in a specific way. And this season, one of the themes is like the theme for this season's Eververse armor is like streetwear. So that's probably what you're seeing and thinking it's kind of goofy. But like, you know, that's just an ornament for your armor. That's not like armor that you will ever collect in the game. That's something you have to specifically like. Buy if you want, right?
Yeah, fair enough.
So it's not like you're going to be like, well, fuck, I got this really good armor, but it looks terrible. I mean, you are going to think that, but you can put ornaments on it, and that one specifically is just an ornament. So like, you can you don't ever have to see that one if you don't want to.
Yeah. But yeah, you're right. The Power Ranger villains is how some of them are starting to look. Lots of spikes and lots of shapes and lots of curves and just over-designed.
Let me find something real quick and show it to you.
Fair enough. We'll get you off this Destiny addiction at some point.
I mean, look at this and tell me how you could possibly think this isn't cool.
I've got to find which chat group you put it.
in the Discord.
The Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's not Spider-Man. The cool thing about Spider-Man is he can swing. You can't swing in Destiny.
That guy's name's not called not Spider-Man. That's his actual name.
Yeah.
That's Spider-Man.
It's not Spider-Man.
Anyway, we can stop talking about Destiny now. Charles, tell me about the video games you've been playing.
Me? It's my turn?
Yes. That's right.
I finished Returnal.
Okay.
The first playthrough.
There's a finish. You didn't finish that game? I thought it was just like a roguelike.
No, it's like Spelunky, where you can get to the.
There's a story ending.
There's a story ending. Okay.
Yeah.
That's what I was asking. There's actually a story in that game.
But the game never ends. The game never ends. It's just a story ending.
Well, yeah. It's and it, it's very good. Like, the game is phenomenal. I think I talked about it last time. It's just there are these two really hard walls that you got to get over. It's the third and fourth. No. Third and fifth area really suck. Like, really, really, really suck. And it's mostly because of the length. Because, you know, like most roguelikes, you're more experienced than I am. But most roguelike runs are going to be 10, 15 minutes. Like, Spelunky, if you're going more than 10, 15 minutes, you're doing pretty good. They tend to end.
A failed run ends quickly.
Yes, yes. And that could definitely happen. Like, I've had runs where in Returnal where I've literally, the first door I walked through and have died 2 meters into that room because there's just, like, six guys waiting for you and it's, you're in a narrow corridor. You got nowhere to... It's, the game's about dodging and you got nowhere to dodge. But the flip side is that a successful run can last 2 hours and to get to where you need to go. And then you can die. And that's the part I'm finding very frustrating. As I say, I pushed her and finished it. But there is... That's the first ending. And then there's an alternative ending where you go through and collect permanent items that only appear once you finish the game. And then visit at a specific location, which I won't say where, just so I don't spoil things for people, that... It's a location that repeats in the first area. I think on every run, it's just in a different part of the map because the map's laid out differently. And you revisit it, and then it triggers these six items in the six biomes. And went through, started the first one, ran right through. Unfortunately, like, I think it's like a flaw in the game design. There is like a hard reset. Even if you go through the third to the fourth area, you lose all your gear. There is a buff that if you start in the fourth area, that you always have a higher weapon proficiency, so you will get better weapons, but that is the only buff you get. There's no defensive buff or anything like that.
Okay.
But
so like you get better weapons, but you still have to be good at dodging.
Yes. And yeah, but the thing is, the enemies are tougher, so it's like it really doesn't make a difference. That's my biggest complaint with the proficiency, in a way. Like, the enemies are just getting tougher anyway, so it doesn't actually change much because they have more defense or have more hit points or whatever. But so, yeah, I managed to run through and find these items in the first, second, third biomes, but there's a hard reset, and I think if I had kept all my gear from that I'd collected throughout the first three, I would have been able to push through the fourth, but it resets you to back to nothing. And I've found the one in the fourth. The fourth area is fine. It's the fifth one. It's really hard. Like, it's like it's got three branching paths, and you need to find three keys, and the branching paths are very hard. And I'm finding it real hard to collect, and I don't know which branching path the item's going to be, so I've got to try them, and I'm bouncing my head off it, and because I'm in the cleaning up the game phase, like I've done the game, like I've accomplished the game, all I need to do is find these items, I'm rushing, and that rushing is making me lose and die and getting more frustrated, so it makes me want to rush more, which makes me die quicker. But I really just need to take a break and sit down and actually level up or gear up in a run and have a good run, and that's what I'm bouncing off now, and it's frustrating. The gameplay's phenomenal. It's just these level 5 and level 3, just it's because you've got to, the enemies are so tough that you have to gear up before you get to them, and so you're talking about an hour of leveling or gearing up before you can even move on. And there's also risk because the game is hard, even though you know what you're doing, that you can just die. And so that an hour of leveling up can be wasted. It's just a little too long, that cycle. But yeah, it's a very good game. The story is phenomenal, and it's presented really, really well. Stuart, did you ever finish it? Did you play it?
Yeah, got about 3/4 of the way through it before I kind of took my foot off the gas. It just became... I think it was the fifth.
Yeah, the snow area.
Bio. Yeah.
Snow. Yeah.
And it just, like, think I ran it twice, three times maybe, and it was just at that point I was like, yeah, this demands me. Like, it goes from, you know, this is fine and dandy, to what you're saying, it's like, you kind of need to start thinking about what you're doing and actually going, right, I'm actually not playing the game up to this point, I'm actually just playing the game to get to this point.
Yeah. And that's the hard thing.
You need to think about each, like, you need to think about that point and what you'll have and what you'll not have and how you want to be kitted out for that point, and not so much the umpteen bits behind you where you've had to run through again.
Yeah, but I don't know if I made it clear.
Like you say, it's a good game, but that's the nature of these kind of games. That is roguelike. You know what I mean? It's fundamental to its core. You know what I mean? It's like, if the game didn't have that feature, like, imagine you just died and you spawned back instantly as many times as you like at the start of the fight or the level. Like, five, you spawned back at the level start, not just the fight, but it would be like half as long. Do you know what I mean? And it wouldn't have quite. It's a weird one, in it, because the argument is well, technically, being a roguelike adds in synthetic lengthening. Because technically, they know you're not going to be able to do it. It's roguelikes are all about fucking trial and error. It's core, yeah. Do you know what I mean? It's like, oh, new area, need to try this, fuck it, didn't work, and I get sent back. But the problem is, when you get sent back and you need to spend, like you say, an hour and a half, 2 hours, getting back there, it stings after a wee bit, and it's like, oh, this wasn't really worth.
That's the problem. It's the length of the time to get to the point where you even can compete with the enemies, and then you still can die in seconds, and some of the environments are a little bit harsher than others to dodge around, and because it's slightly random, some of the areas are very, very harsh, and you can be stuck with some pretty, like, I walked into a corridor.
That's a good point.
Corridor. There's an enemy. Yeah. And generally it's reasonably good, but there's one time, you know, Brian, it's what's that dog, the fire dog in Bloodborne, the big boss,
Lawrence?
No, it's like a
Steve.
Yeah, Steve the fire dog.
Alan Rickman, the fire dog.
Robbie Coltrane.
What is he called?
The one in
it's not a dog. Chalice Dungeons. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
it's not a dog. It's like a dog beast thingy. But anyway, it looks, it's an enemy like that, about the same size, but has tentacles coming off its hindquarters. Okay. And but it's very fast and nimble, like the dog.
Battles in it are schmuck like. Let's beat her in the bush. A lot of the fights in it are schmucks.
I found the name. Do you want to know the name?
Yeah, what is it? I can't remember. It's been too long.
The Watchdog of the Old Lords.
I knew it was something about Old Lords.
It was a dog. A.K.A. Robbie Coltrane, the fire dog.
Watchdog of Alan Rickman.
It was owned by Alan Rickman, the owner.
They're very quick, and they're reasonably easy to stun, but they do hyper damage. Like, if they hit you, they're doing up to 3/4 of your health if they hit you with a good shot. And usually you fight them in the open. One time I walked into a corridor that was 3 meters wide, and there's one sitting there. And
that's the thing. Would you prefer it? See, this is what I was thinking as well. Was what I was talking about. I think you should either be a roguelike or a randomly generated game. You shouldn't be both, because fundamentally both causes issues, like you're saying here. Because the random generation isn't a problem, but the random generation's a problem when you're having to run through sections to get to places that are randomly generated every fucking time you run through them. You know what I mean? It's like, no, it's just, I don't know, I think it's a weird, again, it feels like lengthening padding, if you know what I mean.
I had a theory, like, because I was bouncing off the third area, and then it went really easy. And I was like, I wonder if they're kind of tutuing with playing with the set, like tricking us, that they make it extremely hard and give us harder enemies our first couple of times through the area, and then they ease it off. to make it feel like you're getting better. But I don't know. It was just a speculation. You know, like some games have those tricks where like you get hyper armor near the, like first person shooters, you get hyper armor near the, you in your low health, so you can last a few more extra bullets to make you feel like, oh, I'm really surviving, I'm really being a badass, and things like that, like gameplay tricks that to make players feel tough. And I swear I noticed that happening with this, and I don't know if it's true or not, if it's just I got lucky or got better or had a better run or whatever. But yeah, it's a good game. It's very, very good. Like when it's when you're playing and you're getting through areas and you're having fun, like it's really good. It's just that grind, trying to find those items again, just bouncing off.
Yeah, and knowing I'd like to play it.
Yeah, you'll get it. You'll get there, Brian.
I'll get there eventually. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I think you'll love it. The other one I played is Biomutant, which you, Stuart, you probably have something to talk about as well.
Yeah.
And I want to know who on the team authorized the decision to have the game narrated the whole way through, and who authorized the game intro and tutorial section to be as stupid and as painful and as ridiculous as it is.
I have feelings about Biomutant. I'll say that for nothing.
Because it is infuriatingly painful. I was angry and I turned off Returnal, and so I went into it in a bad mood after dying like six times in a row.
It's a victimizing fucking thing, but because I think it's been put back 4 or 5 years and it's been in development forever, fundamentally. But instead of
too many cooks in the kitchen,
it seems that instead of using the pushback to polish what they've got, they've just added content. So fundamentally, you've got a game that has got elements for Horizon Zero Dawn, Breath of the Wild, Devil May Cry, Max Payne, all these elements, and it just kept adding and adding and adding and adding and adding. And at no point did somebody on the team, and it's a small indie team, at no point did somebody turn around and go, guys, let's stop adding content, maybe polish what we've got. And it just feels like a total, like, a game that's made up of everything. Like, everything that's major in gaming in the last, what, 5 or 6 years, it's got elements in it. And it's all just...
Is that the genius of it, though? Because it is a Biomutant and we are hybrids of some creatures.
True,
the game's
true,
a hybrid of all games.
It's just a total mishmash. And some things hit, and some things hit well, and some things don't hit. And some things you feel like, I wish they would have binned this, and this, and focused on making this, and this a wee bit tighter, a wee bit better, a wee bit more responsive. And it just, Biomutant just sits in a kind of weird place where it's an enjoyable game, but it's a flawed game.
Yeah.
And it's one of the classic kind of 7, 8 out of 10 games where you'll enjoy it, but you will be annoyed by it, and it's just weird. The narration thing's a lift for Stanley Parable, right? There's no way of cutting it other than saying it's just Stanley Parable, right? I like the guy that's talking, but what I don't like is we have to sit through the creatures talking while he talks.
It's the stupidest thing ever.
Why can we not just have him talking straight and we don't make the creatures talk? Just let the narrator narrate the tale. I guess
for those who haven't played, Brian, I don't think you've played it, have you?
Returnal?
No, Biomutant.
Biomutant.
No.
That's what we're talking about now.
the game's fake, right?
It kind of is, and kind of real at the same time. What happens in the dialogue, Brian, is that you'll talk to these creatures. They will talk in gibberish and like just like animal kind of squeaks.
But the other thing as well is it's you need to flag is the game has its own language. So although the game's narrated, it's also narrated with its own language. So like a telephone's a ring-a-ding or a ring-a-dog, and it's like, it's really, it's like a baby talking.
Yeah, yeah.
If you know what I mean. And there's a charm about it. There's a real charm about it. And the fact they've went into this detail when they're like, a flappy wappy would be like an aeroplane or something if you find a crashed aeroplane. And
it's a real charm to it, but at the same time, it's a bit annoying once you're like sitting there for ages, and he's like, "Ah, this is from the olden world. It's a pokey in the eye stick, and all that." And you're like, and then like 2 hours down the line, he's still doing the same shit.
Yeah. It's like, so when you talk to like a mutant or a creature in the game, Brian, they will do their gibberish talk, like voice acted, and it could be 10 seconds long.
So it's then, gibberish like Animal Crossing style gibberish or what?
It's like simian.
You don't know what they're saying. It's just that noise. There's no text. There's nothing. There's no translation.
Oh,
and
wow.
then you get the narrator explaining what they said. Not even, and it's weird, like the consistency. It's sometimes that he's translating. Sometimes he's explaining what they said. So, and that might sound the same, but it's not. You know what I mean? There is a slight difference. And sometimes he will just give you the gist of, like, it's just, or he'll tell you what they're feeling. He'll tell you what you're feeling about what they said, and not the actual, like, the tone is so inconsistent on how they present the dialogue and the story.
Aye, because it's kind of, well, we've totally jumped the gun, but
it sounds horrible.
On this, but there's like a Mass Effect style engine and effect, right? So there's a karma system. So
this is binary systems.
We're best to track it back, right, to the end.
Go.
To explain the karma system, we need to explain the world, right? The planet's fucked, everybody fucks off, and we leave animals, and because there's so much pollution shit in the world, they evolve into their own races, so there's tribal tribes in the planet. There's one big tree called the Tree of Life that's basically dying due to underneath it being polluted, and it's five massive roots being attacked by massive monsters. Some would maybe call them kind of ancient machines. It's very fucking Breath of the Wild. Each one's in a different themed ecosphere dome, and you're a character of your own creation, which I've got to admit I kind of enjoyed, but I didn't enjoy because I don't like the fact that I've watched all the trailers and that for this coming, and I was like, oh, that's the guy. And then you realise that the guy in the front cover is nothing like the guy you've took, because reasons. And then it just, like, it's doing to you, whether you can either, so what happens is you'll go into the world and then you'll meet the tribes, and some tribes want to save the tree, some tribes want to destroy the tree. You can choose to destroy the tree or save the tree. It doesn't, you can be a dick. And then within that becomes the karma system, which, going back now to where we were with the talking, it's like certain conversations will give you three options to sway or persuade people to either join your cause or whatever. And it's just like I said, it's like you can see so many fucking bits for games that have been lifted. It's unreal. And it, I don't know, it just, it's just a really strange game. Like, personally, my two problems are the mission structure gets incredibly repetitive, incredibly quick, and the combat just does not hit hard enough.
Yeah, the combat just needs to be tighter. It's not bad,
It wants to be Devil May Cry with melee, but then it wants to be Max Payne with shooting, and none of the two of them land anywhere near how good you want to be able to, like, oh. And it's just messy and clunky. And as I said, it would have been great if they maybe would have dropped, say, the robotic horse that you used to travel the world in. We'll drop that and give me tighter melee combat and stuff. And I just don't know. I've got mixed feelings about the game big time. And it just sits in this void where, yeah, it's great. It's a fucking achievement. It's like an 11-man, 10-man team that made it. And I totally admire that, and I admire what they've created and crafted. But at the same time, it's like, well, we're as well moving on to the other issue this week is. So THQ publish it. THQ that went to war with Gaming Press this week, because the press, basically, I think THQ pop up a thing that said, somebody said, I think he met a critic that was like, Biomutant's Open World is amazing and full of life, but the mission structure is boring. And then they put up in the same tweet, they put up another cat quote that was somebody saying, Biomutant's mission structure is varied and wonderful, but the world is dull and dead. And then THQ's like, well, which one is it? And I was like, Don't be dicks, THQ. Don't be dicks. Yeah, that was picking a fight.
That was an extremely shitty tweet. Like, and then all the doubling down on like, oh, we're just telling people to make their own decisions. Like,
well, the quote of the week. My quote of the week is for the Reddit. I don't know if you saw the Reddit post where they were like, "Do you remember a time when you would go to Blockbuster as a kid and basically not have read a review, seen a review, watched a trailer, and you just pick a game up, take it home, play it, and then years later find out that you were the only one that loved it?"
Yeah.
And I'm like, what I said, but I was talking to my mate about it, and I was saying, but as a kid, I would pick up the coolest box art. See the box art that screamed to me, helicopters, tanks, samurai, swords, whatever, ninjas. And I was like, but I'm not a kid anymore. And with a £60 game, buying it, that's a hell of a fucking gamble. Do you know what I mean? It's like, it's not even like it's on Games Pass where you could argue that's an attitude or a line you could take. It's the fact that we're not in that world anymore. And I think as well, like we were saying, that whole tweet just overshadowed the Games on Run, because I'll be honest, knowing what I know, where coming from my side, I know that they gave a lot of streamers codes for it, and I mean a lot of streamers, and streamers were shining it, making the sun shine with its arse. But I'm going to be frank, I think we're in a world now where they've went, well, we can give these streamers all these codes and they'll make it amazing because we're giving streamers free content, and obviously streamers are not going to bite the hand that feeds them. Right?
Yeah.
And I'm not saying it's currying favour with them, but I'm just saying I've had lengthy discussions with two streamers that have got the game for them who would not fault it. And I'm like, but do you not see this bit? Like, as we've mentioned here, these bits. I'm like, can you not acknowledge the bits exist and they're just horrible? And it just feels like it's a moment in time again where traditional press is being pushed by this concept to, you can curry favour by giving people codes so they can bring in viewers to see your game. And it's just a bit kind of like, yeah, it's mucky waters and it's dodgy, and it just overshadows the whole game, I think, and it belittles the studio. Because, as I said, it's a small, like, no, everybody knows, A, it's an indie title, and B, it's a tiny, tiny wee team for Sweden. And I think that's also important to bear in mind when reviewing a game, is how big is the team that created the game and how grand, because it's no a AAA title. No way is it a AAA. It's maybe double B, but that's doing to THQ and their marketing and their push for it.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? And I was laughing because I was saying, imagine you bought the £350 special edition, going on what you, because I don't know why, up to I played it was one of my most anticipated games I wanted, because I played it, I was lucky enough to play it at Gamescom 2 years ago, and I really enjoyed what I played. And then I was saying to myself, that special edition's really cool because it's a massive statue, blah blah blah, but imagine playing that and then playing that game, you'd feel cheated, you'd be like, what the fuck, it's like, still, this is just,
yeah, it's still not as bad as Cyberpunk,
is it? But I see, Cyberpunk was flawed from a technical standpoint, but story-wise, gameplay-wise, mechanical-wise, if it had all worked, it would have been great. Whereas Biomutants fundamentally broke for gameplay-wise, as I say, instead of taking time and polishing content, they just kept throwing every bit into it.
Yeah, it's very confusing. I don't know what's going on half the time.
Somebody in the studio should have said, right, guys, we've been kicked back a year. Let's polish what we, let's stop and do work on what we've got here. Because it's got hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of ideas in it. Like, you can, like, when you create your character, it's an RPG. You work with a stats based system where you have intelligence and strength and vitality and all that. But depending on what you do, defines how your character looks. So you can end up looking like a wee derpy mole, kind of furry thing and all that, but then after that screen, it then takes you into your speciality, so you can be like a commando, like a gunslinger, a ninja, a saboteur, and it just keeps throwing all these ideas at you, and yeah, it's just like, give me a like minute.
Yeah, I don't like the whole intro, the character decision, because Brian, choosing your stats, it's basically just a circle and you can swing it around, but you couldn't choose your stats to be, like, you couldn't be in an intelligent agile person.
Can you go diagonal? Well, yeah.
It's just weighted towards the 5 points of that circle. And so if you go to the towards intelligence, it means either you're straight intelligence or you can be slightly more hit points. But you can't be strong and intelligent.
And intelligence.
Yeah, it's because it's on the opposite side of the circle. And I hate, and it changes how you look. So I was like, I went dead center. I'm just going, I don't like the big-headed version. I don't like the big arm version. Boy. Yeah, so I went straight in the middle. And so I'm just crap at everything.
I also thought as well it was a bit cheeky having you watch a trailer. Every time you launch the game, you need to watch a trailer. But then you watch the trailer, and then when you play the game, you just play through the fucking trailer. I'm like, so what I've just watched, I'm playing through in real time.
Yeah.
Oh.
And then
that's a bit.
And then Brian had asked you, the very first question I asked you, it's like, do you like the dark? Or do you like the light? And it's like, and so it chooses what your starting point is. And then you meet someone who's like, apparently knows you as a kid. Like, it's just so ham-fisted the way it introduces the story. I could have rewritten it better.
It's so bizarre because it's like, although they're animals, they've took human traits. So you meet what was he called? Spare something, wasn't it? It was like Spare Parts or... Basically, the guy was in a wheelchair and outdated. And he's in a wheelchair and it's like the old samurai master. But then when the flashback comes and you're a kid, you're...
He's an Elvis.
He's like Elvis.
I hated that. And so his gibberish was just...
jacket and...
Yeah, his gibberish was just going, uh-huh, uh-huh. And I was like, oh man, I can't take this. I turned to Odin and I said, does this guy die soon? Because I can't. And he's like, don't worry, he disappears in a minute. You won't be able to have to see him again.
Well, you do see him, but he seems an old man.
Yeah, he doesn't do this Elvis thing, though. Yeah.
It's a really bizarre game. And there's some, like I say, there's some really cool things. Like, some of the tribes are modelled after samurais. Some of the tribes are modelled after, monks and stuff. So they've got robes and stuff. And you can definitely see beats for it. But it just... I don't know. It tries so hard to be everything to everyone. But it just doesn't achieve anything for anyone.
Yeah, no.
And it is a perfect middle-of-the-road title in that... You will go in and you'll have some enjoyment and you'll play it and you'll be like, oh, this is fine and dandy. But you'll never turn around and go, it's my game of the year or it's like an amazing title. It's a nice wee in-between game, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Once I got past the intro and like the tutorial section, I am having fun with it. And what I've been really impressed with, and I don't know how true this is how different your experience can be. Like Odin's playing and... he played before I did, and he's sitting there watching me play, and he's like, I didn't do any of this.
That's because your choices, but because it doesn't quite tell, it doesn't really tell you certain things right off the bat, because I didn't realise at the start, it says to go to the monks, but you can actually go to the samurai guys, the two first two tribes, and ally with the samurais, but it never really says you can do that if you want.
The very first, it says you've got a branching path, and you can choose. You would have been light. The guy encourages you based on your light setting. If you're in dark aura or light aura, his dialogue changes to tell you which one you should go to. And so you would have been light aura, is my guess. And he would have said, "You align with
go with these guys,
the monks." And that's the thing. Yeah. That's what I find hilarious, though. Like you literally get told your mission in life. You've returned and you have to save the Tree of Life, but choose these two tribes. This tribe wants to destroy it. This tribe wants to keep it. Like, you've been told that you have to save the Tree of Life, and then you get told
you don't have to if you don't want to.
I know, but that's the thing. It's like you have to do this, and then but you choose a tribe that doesn't want to. I found that weird. So I was slightly darker my aura at the start of the game because of my choices at the beginning. And so the guy told me to go to the Judge Ni or whatever, which are the samurai ones. And I went and talked to him and I didn't like what he had to say. So I went to the other tribe and actually sided with the other tribe. So yeah, once you pass the tutorial, it's not too bad. But see, I went into like this wasteland, and I got a giant mech robot, and Odin did something completely different. I've already taken out one of the, what are they called? The big beasts.
World Eaters.
The World Eaters. I've already beaten one, and I'm only like 2 hours into the game.
Mm. Where it, that's what I mean as well, like mech combat. Like,
yeah.
It's like, wait a minute, I'm a wee furry rabbit, squirrel fella, and then next thing you know, you're in a mech, and it's like, what? It's like, where the fuck did that come from?
Yeah.
And it's just like, all these ideas just piling in, and it's like, oh.
The world looks just great. I do like the art style. The world looks kind of great. It's really cute and fun. It feels like a end of PS3 era, the gameplay. Like, it's not, it doesn't really fit with even the PS4, like what we're getting by the end of PS4. It's a little dated.
I don't know.
It's fine though. That's all right.
Just don't even look. Just go in and buy it. Don't look at the box. Just buy it. Like, you're at Blockbuster and you'll love it.
I refuse. I will not be buying this video game. I have no interest in it. You haven't sold me on it. In fact, you've kind of anti-sold me on it.
I think I'm being a little more negative.
Don't say
than
that.
I probably
HBO,
should.
You know, that's no comfort.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I've been a little bit negative. As I say, I went to it in a bad mood, but it is fun once you get past the really frustrating tutorial section.
And then you have to overlook, like we're saying, the gibberish bits and all that. It's, you need to work at it, right? That's the best way of saying it. Is you like all diamonds in the rough, it needs a wee polish. This needs a hell of a big polish, but you'll get there.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, that's it for me.
Or I could just play Breath of the Wild again if I wanted to play a cool open world game.
Or Horizon.
Or Spider-Man. Or yeah. Witcher 3.
Ghost of Tsushima.
Which I still haven't finished.
So good.
All the games.
I don't know if I beat... Did I tell you I beat Demon's Souls with Odin? And Sony sent me an email and congratulated me on my accomplishment.
Did you platinum it? Did you get the cool platinum? Are they still doing the platinum theme or whatever?
I believe so. They encouraged me to get the platinum. I'm almost there. I've just been playing other games.
Yeah. Is the platinum still as bad as it was on the PS3? Like, do you have to get the pure Bladestone?
You still have to. You do need to get the pure Bladestone. I believe it's easier to get it though.
Okay. So they made it a easier drop at least.
They took away, you don't need to upgrade all the weapon types, they've taken that away.
Okay.
It's more based on gameplay, like, I didn't know this, but most of the trophies I've missed are beating all the different bosses in different or specific ways.
Oh, interesting.
I got the Penetrator, you get the trophy by beating him with the Twin Fang, which I know about him, so I did that by default, because I know to go back and get him, because I've played it before. So I got that trophy, but then there's other ones like beating the Tower Knight without killing any of the archers.
Oh, okay.
And things like that. I can't remember. Beating the Dragon God with the Dragon Fists. The God Hand Fists.
Yeah.
So things like that. So there's more unique trophies than, which is kind of cool, but also you need to go look to know what they are, because you're not going to do that just by default.
Yeah. You need to like actually read the trophies.
Yeah, which is dumb, but also fine as well. But yeah, anything else from you, Stuart? There's always something else from you.
Yeah, Stuart's always got something to talk about.
You know me, I'm always there. Played the Mass Effect Legacy Trilogy Collection. It's like Biomutant, but better. Yeah, it's like Biomutant, but no.
I just like the idea of like walking up to someone and being like, "Yeah, have you played this Mass Effect game? It's like Biomutant, but better."
Two and three are pretty untouched. One's the big talking piece. Oh, it's a big talking piece.
Yeah, one seems somewhat. The Mako drive better.
Yeah, it's Nougat, kind of, to me, it kind of drives more like a Warthog for Halo.
Okay.
Which is a good thing. The HUD's been tweaked a wee bit, so there's more uniformity between all three games. there's all the DLC in it as well, which makes things a bit interesting, because technically you can do DLC missions before main missions, so you can get some OP kit, which is fun. You also share credits across all three games, which is quite cool. And the models in the first one, it's weird, the first one's a kind of mixed bag. They've redone all the models, but some of the environments haven't been touched, so it's a bit kind of strange. Personally, I would have liked to have seen one remade in two's engine, to be a mere action shooter, and they've tweaked it a little bit to be a bit more actiony. They've took out certain elements, like overheating and stuff on certain guns has been tweaked a wee bit, so it's not quite as RPG heavy, but yeah, it's what I remember. Yeah, the end of 3 is still going to be a contentious fucking, all these choices through history, all these choices over 3 games come down to basically a 3 choices basically, but fundamentally it's a great package. It's 3 of the best games for BioWare, and BioWare were great. With 40 pieces of DLC, I think there's one piece of DLC missing for the whole thing, and that's for the first one. I think it's the space station stuff. I can't remember the name of it. Lunar Space Station, I believe. I can't remember. But yeah, it's an adventure worth taking again, I think. It's been that long since I played the first one. Second one's a bit more fresher, and the third one, I have memories of bouncing off the third one really hard, going halfway through it and then just sacking it. I can't remember if I actually finished the third one. But it's a hell of a, I think it's like 90 to 110 hours worth of content, give or take, if you're pushing hard. Plus, they've done it so that they've unlocked all difficulties, so if you can play Apocalypse mode or Hardcore mode right off the bat, which is quite a nice touch, because in the past games you had to play the game on each mode to unlock the subsequent mode, which was a bit of a pain in the arse. And yeah, if you like Mass Effect, it's definitely worth buying, and hopefully we'll get the Dead Space 3 Legendary Ultimate Collector's Edition next for EA, because, you know, come on EA, what are you waiting for? It does have a weird sense, but playing it, the whole, how BioWare were once a titan in the industry, and now look at them, they're not even on life support, they're just crawling through the mud, hoping to fucking survive. And I know Dragon Age is coming, but, you know what I mean, it's not exactly, it'll be what it is, but they're a far shadow of what they once were. And I think to remember them at their best, this is a great title. It's just really good. Mass Effect. Yay.
Nice. I think I played the first one. May have been the second one. I don't actually know.
Second one's the best game in the trilogy.
I have no strong feelings about any of them. I didn't really... I played a bit of the first one and like half of the second one and a little bit of the multiplayer in the third one, and they're fine.
Second one's easiest to get into, I think. Third one by default, because it uses the same engine.
I don't care about like BioWare character. Like I don't want to make the BioWare action figures kiss, and so I think that's like a big part of why those games ever worked for me. I feel like that's a lot of what people want out of those games.
Sorry to disappoint you. No, I was just about shooting shit and trying to kill half as many arseholes in my team as I could.
Yeah. I mean, if I want to... Yeah,
you didn't
games,
give
me
my loyalty achievement? You're dead.
I hated trying to keep everyone happy. Like, I just... Yeah. Dragon Age, I hated Dragon Age with a passion.
I kind of liked the fact that in the second one, Miranda gets pissed off you so early in the game. She just totally doesn't want to know you. I think it's... You side with the Quarians or something, and she just gets totally pissed off at you, and she's like, "Fuck you!" She's like, "I don't want to see you ever. I don't want to see you in my face ever again unless it's for business." And even then, it's like, "Fuck you!" I'm like, "Yeah, scorn yourself, Miranda. Yeah, crazy woman." But it's Mass Effect, isn't it? It's also a sign of the times. We'd rather get a rehashed remake, HD, whatever, than an actual sequel. You know. Yeah, no mention of Andromeda in that collection either, which I thought was a bit...
Oh yeah, I forgot there's a fourth one.
Yeah, Andromeda, the bastard child that had... As somebody said, that I was watching a thing, they were saying, like, Andromeda should have been a home run, because Andromeda was built within the universe that had already had three massive titles, shit tons of lore, and it was all there. All they had to do was plug it in, and they totally failed. And I'm like, oh well, oh well.
Yep. So expectations get too high. There's only one way to go, and it's down. Yeah.
Well, all right.
Anything else?
Got any? Got any other video games? Or you want to wrap this bad boy up?
Yep,
I'll do Knockout City.
Knockout City. Tell me about Knockout City.
It's Dodgeball. It's great.
Oh yeah. Is that out there?
Basically, it's the EA wrote Rocket Arena. EA failed with Rocket Arena because they charged full price for a fucking game that was multiplayer dependent, and it was arena battles with people who shot rockets. It failed about 6 months ago and was never seen again. Dodgeball City comes out, same concept, same feel, same vibe, same tone, but it's on Games Pass and it's got a lifeline that it needs to instant player base, and it's really fun, like playing multiplayer game 3v3. It's Dodgeball but with wacky powers. It's really fun. It's just nice and thingy. It's an easy to kick back game and I don't feel any malice against it. I enjoyed my time with it. It's got all it's got all the hooks you would imagine. Unlock coins to unlock suits and hair and blah blah blah. It's all cartoony and chunky. Played worse, but yeah, EA's being EA. I think it was a kind of watershed moment for them, because I think if this would have failed, they probably wouldn't. You'd never see another multiplayer kind of title like this for EA, because I think they would just realise that yeah, this isn't happening. I was talking to my mate and it's like Plants vs Zombies Neighbourverse kind of was dead on arrival as well. Like neither gave a monkeys about it, and it was just like, yeah, there's that, and then Rocket Arena, Need for Speeds have been pretty dead on arrival recently, and it's just the case of they need It Takes Two was alright and it did well, but I think half of that's due to the developer being the fucking fuck the Oscars guy. But again, a hard sell, a game that can only be played with two people, that's a hard sell, because a lot of people don't have two people, have somebody else to play the game with, whether on the couch or online, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's kind of it's risks, it's controlled risks. They must be controlled risks, because I'm sure I sort of read that FIFA Ultimate Team took $1.8 billion last year, so I'm sure that's enough goodwill to get a few of these titles. And I'm pretty sure Knockout City is a original banner game, so that is actually in brackets an indie title, but it must be a slap in the face for the boys that made a Rocket Arena. Do you know what I mean? Because it makes you realise they really should have put these games only live or die if they get either put on Games Pass or they get given away with games with gold or plus. But hey ho, right now it's great fun, so here's hoping it's got a player base, and there's already talk of the seasons and brackets starting soon, so more content, more fucking season pass, blah 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 blah. So yeah, nice light wee multiplayer game, can't go wrong. Good time for everybody.
Fair enough.
Yay.
Alright.
That's about it. There is something else that I can't talk about. But
I'm sure we'll hear about it in a future episode.
I will have a ratchet in my hand and I'm sure it'll clank. But there's a new king at the top of the PS5 charts, put it that way.
Nice.
Yeah, that's another one that like is making me frustrated that I don't have a PS5 yet, because boy, do I really want to play that game.
Yeah, it just reinforces my feelings of how Xbox just like
don't have games.
Like, there's nothing like it. Like Returnal and that just make you go, what the hell is Xbox? Xbox specialise in multiplayer games. No, it is what it is. And games like that, just like it's, they know what they're doing, and it's like, whether it be the shiny floors with ray tracing, or just the overpopulated cityscapes with no load time, it's just like, wow, this is good. It's good stuff.
Nice.
That's Returnal, by the way. Know that. Can't talk about that for 2 weeks.
So it's okay. Man.
You do.
Halo Infinite will come out someday.
Oh, that's apparently that's the flagship reveal for. It's make or break time. It's we're gonna. I hope to God we just get the same trailer but redone so it looks better. That's what they should do at E3 because they've already all the artwork's Halo orientated. But I have a horrible feeling they're not going to show story content. They're just going to show multiplayer content and try and get away with it. But we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
It could be worse. That's for another night in the future. Future me can worry about that.
Exactly.
All right. Well, I think that's going to wrap up the podcast for us then. So,
Yep.
Charles, where can people find you on the internet?
Vader Van Odin.
Everywhere. Just search that, you'll find him. Yep. Not hard.
Yep.
Stuart, what about you?
Not.
You can find me under FuryAC3 everywhere in this known galaxy and beyond.
Indeed, including the Scottish Sun.
Yes, the website.
Indeed.
Where I speak to the director of ID Xbox this week.
Okay, woo! Yeah. Well,
I've also got an interview with the lead designer at Team Ninja who work on Neo coming, and I kept it a secret, but it's coming.
That's cool. Did you already do the interview, so you can't ask them about Final Fantasy Origin?
Yeah. I can't ask them about that, but I can ask them about what they're working on and if they will return to Neo, having known he said he wouldn't. But I was interested to find out what they're doing next, because as the penny drops, why do a collection of Ninja Gaiden? Why not just make a new Ninja Gaiden game?
Yeah.
All will be revealed in the future.
Exclusively on the Scottish Sun.
Yes,
you can find
on my desktop
or on Stuart's desktop. you can find me on Twitter at Wade Bryan R. You can find the podcast on Twitter at Gamers Galaxy Pod, or on our website, which is gamersguidetothegalaxy.space. We're doing this thing more often again. We're trying to make it a more regular podcast now that we're out of the post holiday blues and. Things are coming
next
together. Video games are happening again.
Next one's the big one, I would assume.
Yeah, next one will probably be post E3, so yeah.
Yeah. Post something.
So I guess we've said everything we need to say except for one final thing.
Have a great E3 and a happy Gamescom.
Okay, so one more thing after that.
Alan Rickman was a saint.
Robbie Coltrane, the Fire Dog. Don't forget your gamepad.
That's the one.
That's the one.
Catchies.
Bye-bye.
Good night, everyone.